Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. It is finally Monday. The days are beginning to run together for me just a little bit. I am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. And, well, we all know what story number one most likely is everywhere. On the right-wing side of things, you have a desperate attempt to explain away, why Dick Cheney, the Vice President of the United States, committed attempted murder, and B, well, these things just happen when you go bird hunting. And on the left, of course, you've got people who are flabbergasted. Why, you know, it was negligent shooting. I'll give that to the right. It was negligent shooting. But why did it take 24 hours to get the information out? I think it was our good friend Brad Friedman at bradblog.com who opined that, you know, had the poor schmuck died, we probably never would have heard about it. Right? I mean, kind of hard to get away from that idea. But, no, you know the story. Dick Cheney went on another one of his famous bird hunts. You know, the ones where they, I don't know that this is the way it is all the time, but it certainly was the case when he went up to, Latrobe, yeah. I always have to think of Rolling Rock beer, glass-lined tanks of old latrine, and then I get to Latrobe. He went hunting up in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and the way Dick Cheney hunts is they take a big net full of birds, and they open the net, and then blam, 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 blam. They slaughter them on the wing. Now, I don't know that that's the way it was down in, Corpus Christi, Texas. But it, at a range of 30 yards, his hunting partner got a face full of shot. Now, I have been... Frankly, I would rather this is the part where you take the PETA people out of the room, okay? And you can bring them back in a couple of seconds, because I don't want to offend any delicate sensibilities. But for heaven's sakes, I live in the hills of West Virginia, and when you live in West Virginia, you know, when you're a Southerner, in large part, or a Middle Atlanticer, or, you know, you go hunting. And I would rather bird hunt than I would deer hunt, or most anything else. Because you know what? I can take a pheasant that's been dressed out nicely. See, I believe, you know, if you're going to kill it, you're going to eat it. And that's what we do. Go bird hunting and bring back and make a heck of a feast. But at any rate, having been bird hunting from time to time, I can't help but wonder how in heaven's name this happened. Guy, if you really want a good example of how did this happen, I suggest you go to our good friends WD40.com. They've got a link there to the Go Hunting with Dick Cheney game. And maybe you'll understand a little bit better how this did. What is this ancient dude doing running around with firearms? What is the bionic dick doing playing with guns? Whose brilliant idea? It's brought to you by the National Rifle Association, shooting your best friend for over 50 years. What the hell is this? Now, my initial inclination, there are jokes to be mined out of this. Even as I write, some aspiring disc jockey out there is crafting, "Hey, Dick, where you going with that gun in your hands?" to the tune of Jimi Hendrix's "Hey, Joe," okay? Somebody else is working on pistol packing vice president. It's already all over the internet. The dude's new name is Deadeye Dick. Interesting. Well, so, frankly, this is material that is of far greater comic potential than me, your humble nightly talk radio host, can possibly approach. I can't touch this. This is good stuff. This is the kind of stuff, can you imagine? Sherman set the Wayback Machine for 10 years ago. Can you imagine a story hitting the wires about Al Gore blasting some dude? Jeez, we would have had another $70 million spent by Ken Starr. Of course, Texas is the Wild West, so I imagine Texas probably doesn't even have a negligent shooting statute. Now, I think the way the statute reads here in West Virginia, it says, anyone who shall, while hunting, injure a human being or other livestock. I think that's how it reads here in West Virginia. Shall be guilty of and shall be fined not more than this nor less than that and imprisoned in the county jail for up to a year. That's if you kill the guy. You can... In West Virginia, if you kill somebody in the woods, if you murder him in the woods during hunting season, you get to say, "That was an accident. I could have swore that was a deer all decked out in that blaze orange." Really. So there's not just a hell of a lot that I can do with this, Cheney, don't take your gun to town. That's another parody that somebody's out there making. Somebody with one of those good old Kenny Rogers deep voices, "You've loaded up your jets and packed up all your guns and ammo," that kind of thing. Somebody's out there doing that. I cannot do justice to the story. Honest to God, I cannot do justice to this story. And the Joe Friday routine you already know. The questions, however, abound. Now, the timing of things. How does this work? Let's work through this real quick. We found out last week that Scooter Libby is going to say in court under oath that Dick Cheney gave him permission to out a CIA officer, agent, spook. Now, that trial is set for 2007. Big time Dick Cheney is in office till January 20th, 2008. Now, timeout. Quick break.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Weird. Little teeny tiny piece of ice, kind of, you know, in the big orange went sideways. You know, and I didn't want you to have to listen to Agnes doing the Heimlich maneuver on me on the air. I mean, I'm sorry. So anyway, what I was trying to get at is this the time where Dick Cheney decides to spend more time with his family? We know that big darkness soon come for Dick, one way or the other. Either he gets, there's no honor among these thieves, and somewhere down the road, well, you know, Scooter Libby, yeah, he's gonna rat Dick out, no doubt about it. It would appear to be more than a casual likelihood. So now, having having blasted away, what's this guy's name, Whittington? Having blasted Mr. Whittington, almost into the next life, we find that Dick is overcome with grief. Needs to spend more time with his family. I don't know. Maybe that, or maybe this is just a diversion, because after all, the whole Scooter Libby gonna roll on Dick story was beginning to get some traction toward the end of last week. So, when you're a Republican, when you're Dick Cheney, yeah, you will shoot somebody to get the attention. I mean, look at the Iraq War. I mean, how many times have we seen these filthy, godless, motherless, soulless Republicans start something new to divert the terminally attention deficit disorder press away from the issue? I mean, what's his name? Dick Gregory? Nah, some NBC White House correspondent, Greg Gregory, I don't know, some guy named Gregory, got into it with Scott McClellan this morning. Why did you hide it from us? Screaming at the top of his lungs. It wasn't recorded, but it was reported in a section of the Chicago Tribune called The Swamp. So there's, paranoia is defined as the irrational fear that someone is out to get you. This isn't paranoia. We have watched time after time after time as stories of the Bush administration have gone howling down the memory hole. And God knows the media has done everything in its power. British guy who shot his wife and kid, allegedly. Nancy Grace already has him halfway to death row. And if it hadn't been, I'm sure it was with great trepidation and real sadness that the news media had to turn away from that story to report on the vice president committing attempted negligent homicide. So, you've got all of that. But, you want to know where I'm going to be at 11 o'clock tonight? I'll tell you where I'm going to be at 11 o'clock tonight. I'm going to take a little break from my usual after-show decompression of listening to Mike Malloy. And I'm going to wander in to catch The Daily Show. Because if these guys can't get it right, nobody can. I mean, these are your high-paid jokesters. And there should be a lot of fun to be had. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us, calling from Alabama. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Don't shoot till you see the white of the indictment.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I tell you. On the NRA's website, down enlisted in the news for hunters, President George W. Bush is creating new inroads for hunters.
Yeah, brother.
I'm not kidding.
You're not?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's too good.
God. President Bush is creating new inroads for hunters. And you open it up, and there's an article, and there's a picture of Georgie out in the field with his with a dog looking one way and him looking the other. The old Sam Walton ad on the dog food.
Wow.
A pellet, a mullet, a shot fired in anger is going to catch you upside your cranial basket. How about that?
Oh, gee whiz.
They say don't go hunting with Dick Cheney on Wolverton Mountain. When Dick Cheney rode in the town, all the women folk would hide. Because the husbands were, shot.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, we're going to have to leave this one to the pros, Chris. It's hard to do. I know, it's hard to do.
Your friend and mine, Kyle, called. I had laid down yesterday evening because my head was about to kill me. And Kerry came in and knocked on the door and said, Kyle's on the phone, said he wanted to let you know that the vice president shot somebody.
Yeah, I know. And what's your first? No. Aw, now, quit it.
My first thought was, which one was it?
Yeah, Scooter or Carl?
Yeah, well, I knew it wasn't Carl because Carl's packing, babe. Carl's packing, He's got the palm gun. He's got one down in his boot. Yeah.
Yeah, one in the back of the jacket, just like Bruce Willis, because they've all seen the movie.
Yeah, the Alan Greenspan double tapped the back of the head. wait, what did he actually say that? Yes, I did.
But no, I mean the guy was 90 feet away, Chris.
Yeah.
90 feet.
Well, you got to wonder all the...
And he didn't shoot him in the back.
All the trouble that that this guy has put up in Austin, you got to wonder if it wasn't a hit.
Well, yeah, he has made life miserable for folks in Austin. And wait, who's running, who's the, either running for or is the mayor of Austin?
No, that's...
Wouldn't that be Scotty McClellan's mama?
Ooh. Hmm.
Hey, Chris, we're going to have to ring off, brother. I got a terrible connection here, and I don't know why, but I'm about to lose an eardrum.
Kinky Friedman for governor.
Amen.
All right.
Later, man. Bye. No, seriously, that's not a conspiracy theory. She's either running for or is mayor of Austin. And on the and in turn, the city of Austin is being made absolutely miserable by this Whittington guy because he's a lawyer. You know, he's a trial lawyer. He's one of them lawyers that the Republicans ordinarily hate until they take you on a bird hunting expedition and try to do away with you. I got to stop. Because this is, it's too, no, I'm gonna leave this to the pros. Let's wedge in another phone call here. David is with us from Nashville. Hey, David, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, and boy, okay, that was not our phone system. Good. Because you're coming through great.
Yeah, there was a little extraneous stuff going on there. Well, I tell you what, look, I want a serious atta person. Out of all the friends of Bob, I took one for the team today.
Oh, really?
I listened to right-wing hate radio.
Oh, man.
To hear what those people had to say.
And?
And it centered around two main talking points which cropped up over and over. Number one, they tied it to Ted Kennedy. Oops. Safer to go hunting with Dick than it is ride home from a party.
Oh, who pulled that one out of their hat? That's creepy.
That was a local.
Okay.
That was a local who shall remain nameless because he is a fat, ugly, anyway.
Yeah.
One of those sorts of people. And the other thing was, well, it happens every day. And it happens every day was Limbaugh's line. Over and over and over. And he alluded to the what's the big deal? This is just a thing among friends. And my golly, I've gone duck hunting. I understand these things. And I just went, this is so insane because.
Oh, the only way Rush Limbaugh's ever gone duck hunting is if he was used for the decoy.
Well, either that or he wanted it with five spice sauce, slow roasted, and even and went out of the case.
It happens all the time.
I've been
bird hunting dozens of times, David. And we did pretty good. We brought home a nice load of birds, had a wonderful feast. And
my father would drink less to hunt quail in Middle Tennessee when it was sparsely populated, and he did not travel amongst teetotalers. There was no shot in his body when he died, and he never had to apologize for shooting anybody else.
Well, and again,
you got to be pretty old and in the way to shoot somebody.
Well, David, honest to God, I want to see the CSI episode. I'll actually watch mainstream television for this. I want to see the CSI episode that explains this all to us. I want to know how you turn with a, I'm assuming, 12-gauge double-barreled shotgun and blast a dude in the face at 30 yards. In the back? Now, that does hunt. That happens sometimes in bird hunting. You get shot in the back because, you're ranging through the field. One guy gets a little ahead of the other. The bird goes that way, and boom, you get shot in the back. That does happen. This guy got shot in the face.
And this time lag does matter. We should care about that. But there's a couple other aspects that I want to make sure all of our callers that aren't hunters remember about this, but are taxpayers. It's illegal to be hunting quail this time of year in Texas. Bird season's long since over, boys and girls.
Really?
I'm pretty darn sure. So this was private land, as in rich boys can go kill whatever they want on land that's owned and, granted by the owner. And all. I'm pretty sure we're going to find out that this is another one of those things where they take a net full of birds and turn them loose, and that's the rest of it.
Yeah, just like up in La Trobe.
Yeah. Don't forget that. And please, America, remember that just for starters, we paid $1.5 million for 5 deferment dead-eye Dick to fly to somewhere close to Corpus Christi so he could waste the nation's time, money, and energy shooting an old lawyer rather than deal with the mess they've made around the world. You know, there's...
Now, there's some perspective.
There's some guys in black suits with very expensive sunglasses and an ear full of radio. Vice President. Vice President just turned left 30 yards. Oh, Frankie. Yeah, oh, Frank.
Oh, the humanity.
Exactly. So it's Air Force Two or whatever they call
him. Yeah, he's Air Force Two.
There we have it. Think about it. All of that security. Maybe a secondary red button bomb case just in case. You know, while he's out there walking around sweating, maybe needing a little defibrillator action, we should be so lucky. You know?
Yeah, I need another 9-volt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no. We're not going to go back to dancing. But it is pretty enticing. He could have buffed his...
See the trouble you start? You wanted to see him break dance, and instead...
He thought he was in a shooting gallery. Ooh, knocked a duck down. Oops, it's not a duck. It's a bazillionaire lawyer that bought John Power an election right after Lyndon Johnson went on to bigger and better things.
Dang, is that... But, I think I shot Mr. Whittington. Yeah.
Well, has he made his contribution yet? Make sure he lives enough to deed over a few things on a legacy basis.
Check clear yet.
Yep, exactly. That one other little thing that I'm really curious about in the grand scheme of things.
And I thought we couldn't do this professionally.
And that $1.5 million, maybe $2 million in security charges, fuel, airplane, bodyguards, all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's being paid for by some woman that can't have arthritis medicine. That's being paid for by, you know, that's over 10% of what it would take to fund those hearing tests.
Yeah, that's being paid for by a little brand newborn deaf baby.
And the little old lady that would love to not pop an artery from hypertension because she can't afford the medication.
Dick needs to go hunting.
Yeah, Dick needs to go hunting. And speaking of things that don't make sense, we went to war in Iraq, and it was for weapons of mass destruction. Wrong answer.
No.
Oh, it was because of the nuclear weapons that are going to be... Wrong answer.
Not that one either.
They're going to rain missiles on Israel. Oh, gosh, no, that's not it.
No,
oh, well, it's because Saddam Hussein is a very bad man, and we've got to go get this bad man and make sure we bring him to justice. Now, from things you've said, I take it you've been around at court. When was the last time a guy that was on trial for 150 deaths as a starter came into any court of law in pajamas, cussed out the judge and said, "I can't be bothered today," and was allowed to walk his ass out? When the hell, what the hell are they doing in that courtroom over there? Where's the justice?
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, if you watch the video feeds, they never show you the kangaroo in the corner. But he's there.
Yeah, and he's laughing too hard to do anything.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. What is going on with that? We killed, all right, now I've got to be respectful because I do not want to be frivolous. We've killed nearly 2,500 that we know about of ours that should have never died, 100,000 civilians. We've created a 50,000-person mercenary army that's going to be employed in this country in 2 or 3 or 4 years to make our life miserable. And Saddam and his henchmen show up in pajamas and then walk back to their cells saying, "No, I can't be bothered today."
Trial? We don't need a stinking trial. We'll be back later.
Help me with this one, Bob. Your turn.
I'm sorry. I cannot do trial today. I have 2-ball, 3-rail combination in George Bush's basement, you know, waiting.
Precisely. Something. You know, I've got a massage schedule 11, and, you know, I'm late now. Bye.
I do not have time for this. We will have you killed later.
I am appalled.
This is, you know, really, David, this is where we get out the Boris and Natasha sound bites, you know.
I do not have time
for Moose and Squirrel today.
No. Moose and Squirrel must die. And Moose and Squirrel said, "Nah, not today. Maybe next week. We're going now."
Well, I mean, we flew right past one, David. How many people is he being tried for killing?
Well, in this first go-around, it's 140-some-odd Kurds in one village.
Yeah.
Just for starters.
Weren't we told that he was the butcher of Baghdad and mass murderer of millions? I mean, let's have a little hyper-pathetical here. Let's say either the Russians or us get to the bunker before Hitler and Eva can do the what they did. And we put Hitler there in Spandau prison and we put him on trial. Do you think we're gonna try him for 146? No, or are we gonna try him for the 6 million?
Well, purportedly, this is supposed to be the first charge among hundreds, and they decided this was the airtight.
This is the test case.
They decided this was the airtight. Let's get it started. We're going to make it. We're going to be able to charge him, try him, find him guilty, and then move on to another charge of greater import. And this thing has been. They have been, approaching the pooch from the rear.
Yeah.
For about 8 weeks now, and what do we got to show for it?
Nothing. Well,
Saddam Hussein is winning the PR battle.
Well, sure he is. My God, there are people that want him on the ballot.
Sure.
Did you see the 60 Minutes thing last night, David?
No, I did not.
They finally got around to doing an expose on this outfit called Custer Battles. You ever heard of them before?
No.
This is one of those independent contractors who are going to be in charge of building the new Iraq.
Oh, boy.
This is a former Republican congressional candidate and a former special services goon. I know, they'll get mad. This guy, they're crooks, okay?
Well, yeah, they are. They're Republicans.
There was a guy there from the Coalition Provisional Authority who said, well, you know, we call these bricks. And it was. It was a brick of brand new, brand spanking new $100 bills, all tight, shrink-wrapped. This is $1 million. You know, sometimes we stood around out in the yard and played we called them footballs because we played football with them. And this outfit was these two Republican cronies, and that's all they were. They didn't know bupkis about the security or anything they were hired to do at the Baghdad airport. Nothing.
Like Nosferatu and Brownie. They're bad. They're worldwide, Bob.
It's just amazing the level of corruption of this crowd. You talked about, you know, Cheney's hunting trip was paid for by a little old lady who won't be able to get her arthritis medicine and a newborn deaf kid. Headline from our good friends at Raw Story: Bush administration spent over $1.6 billion on advertising and PR since 2003.
They got the worst PR numbers to show for it.
Yeah, sue the who? $1.6 billion. And as I've said on this program before, if you or I start counting right now, trying to count to a billion, we will die before we get there. That's how big a number that is.
Let's see. War is peace. Famine is good. What are the rest of them?
Up is down, black is white, night is day.
Exactly.
This is
and the chocolate ration's gone from 20 grams to or from 30 grams to 20.
This is just stuff that, you know, what goes on here when the mic goes off, the screaming you would not believe. Just let that rattle around, you know, Ensign Pulver style, up in the overhead like marbles. $1.6 billion for PR and advertising by the White
House.
There's no
way for us to walk down the hall, throw open the bulkhead, and advise the captain what he just did with the palm tree.
Yeah. And what's this about? No movie. But,
yeah.
I mean, just, David, you're a sharp guy. I mean, I trust your judgment and stuff. What does the White House need to run advertisements about? Hi, we're your White House. No.
Well, it's been dramatized. It's been brought to light, and America didn't seem to care. They have the biggest disinformation campaign in the history of Washington, D.C. Not only do they simply put out press releases, not only do they have a closeted man standing up there parroting foolish lines at press conferences rather than an elected official, They create stories, hand them off to lazy, on-the-take TV and radio stations that run them as if they are news, and all they are is a product of those PR firms.
Exactly. And let's ask the next question. How much, and I don't think it's an unfair question to ask, of that $1.6 billion, how much did Rush Limbaugh get? How much did Sean Hannity get? How much did Neil Bortz get? How much did O'Reilly get?
Well, the tiny little crumbs that we're aware of, it's $40,000 here, it's a quarter of a million there. You know, it's buy this guy here, pass him off as an objective third-party analyst. Oh, wait a second. I see. His topic was No Child Behind Left, okay? And for a quarter of $1 million, they had a guy.
Well, I think somewhere along the way, David, somebody's got to investigate this, somebody who really understands media, because Rush Limbaugh, as I've noted before, makes $25 million a year, and if you listen to the advertising on his program, he is advertising patent remedies for baldness, patent herbal remedies for erectile dysfunction, and mattresses. If he was selling 1,000 mattresses a day, it would not be, because the suits behind Rush Limbaugh have to get rich, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, taxpayer dollars go to send Rush Limbaugh's program to Armed Forces Radio.
Oh, I know.
At some point, this is a machine, David. This is an absolute honest-to-God machine Goldwater. Goldwater lost in 1964. This is a machine that has been 40 years in the making. And you cannot tell me, because if you know, whether it's Hannity or Limbaugh or O'Reilly, they're all selling the same crap. They're all selling the mattresses. You know, the Swedish mattress. They're selling the mattresses. They're selling the baldness remedies. They're selling the sex stuff. And I don't believe that there are that many stupid people in America. Wait a minute.
Well, Sun in England, the paper, I think it was the Sun, you know, how could there be 54 million stupid Americans? And
well, they
I don't think there were, frankly. I think it's much more like 48.
Well, what we got to do is keep an eye out for the people, who still have W stickers on their car and look to see if the bald dudes are sprouting new hair. Follow them home and see if they're sleeping on a Swedish mattress. Because unless some of this $1.6 billion, unless some of this Republican, think tank money is being funneled to these right-wing megaphones, something's fishy.
Well, it has to be. You just know that it has to be, because they are too coordinated. I guarantee you, I'm going to spend a few more minutes tonight after I finish here, and I'm going to take a little bit more for the team, and I'm going to see what the Savage Wiener, and I'm going to see what Mr. O'Reilly. I mean, we are getting close to Valentine's Day, so this is O'Reilly time of year. This is this is soft and fuzzy, touchy feely.
Oh no! No, don't start with the falafel.
This is. I cannot make a falafel sandwich these days without, you know, you've almost ruined that Middle Eastern treat for me, you devil, you.
Yeah, I know. I can't get near the stuff either, because I've got this, you know, because, well, go read the transcripts. I can't say it.
No. Please don't make me.
It's awful.
Well, yeah. Bob, I need to.
I understand, but you know, thank you for everything, and thank you for all the observations. I have a feeling we're going to be busy with this $1.6 billion on advertising and PR tonight.
Oh yes, well, it strikes us everywhere. Many places we wouldn't like it to strike us, but it does.
Yes, it does. David, thanks so much.
Talk to you later, Bob.
All right. Okay. Let's see. Let's delve into this just a little bit. Or, no, Agnes says let's take a break. We do what Agnes says. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Out, measured with coffee, booze, and tears of your.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Last week's 4th Estate Radio, Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for 4th Estate Radio. Get the details at 4thestateradio.com. That's 4thestateradio.com.
Email in from our friend Sue on Big Coal River. Bob, now you know what a wonderful person Dick is. He stopped by the hospital and spent 15 whole minutes visiting his target or victim or friend. Maybe he's colorblind, Dick. The man had an orange vest on and Cheney didn't see him. And it's not just, again, it's not just that he didn't see him. He didn't see the guy in the big orange vest. He didn't see the guy in the big orange vest that he was pointing his gun at his face 30 yards away. Golly Moses. And Sue also confirms what David mentioned. That in fact, the vice president, that heartbeat away dude, travels with an entire cadre of doctors, nurses, ambulance. There's probably a portable operating room. He's probably got his own little MASH unit. Do the math, like David suggested. $10 dollars. $10 million for the neonatal hearing screening program. $10 million. This trip today cost us $1 million, or this trip over the weekend cost us $1.5 million. Dick Cheney has gone bird hunting on our damn dime enough to pay for this screening program that these heartless ghouls want to eliminate. You down with that? Got the math done? Ready to scream yet? You know, it just gets better and better and better. And from the media angle, by the way, too. I think, what was her name? A reasonably nice-looking lady, Frederica Whitfield, was anchoring yesterday afternoon when the story broke 24 hours later. You can't beat that Johnny-on-the-spot media now, can you? Frederica Whitfield was anchoring, and I think the bubblehead, I think her name is Kelly Wallace. Kelly Wallace, does that sound right? She's a CNN White House correspondent. And this was seared into my brain when I heard it. I don't have the audio for you. You're going to have to trust me on this one. But the fact of the matter is, in discussing this, the happy talk between Frederica Whitfield and Kelly Wallace, Frederica in Atlanta, Kelly's in Washington, D.C. And Frederica asks her, well, Kelly, what were the nature of the injury? What was it this man was shot with? And as I live and breathe, this was the response from Kelly Wallace. This I aim at our rugged outdoorsmen and outdoors lady friends. Many, you know, look, like I said, around in the South and the rural, we know in the Midwest, you know, we know from guns. I know our buddies at WD40.com, good gun-toting liberals. This is, honest to Pete, the response that Kelly Wallace gave to Frederica Whitfield. Well, Frederica, the reports we're getting from the hospital say that the man was hit with bird shot. Now, I'm not sure, but I think that's like hunting talk for the kind of bullets they were using. Really. We'll take a moment while the people who understand firearms gasp and laugh and point. Good God. I think that's what that's the kind of bullets they were using. No, Kelly, honey. If they were using bullets, there wouldn't be a Mr. Whittington anymore. All right? Yeah, I think that's like hunter talk for the kind of bullets, you know, the kind of bullets they were using, you know? You know, I mean, what? I mean, you go back to Kelly Wallace's office and there's whiteout on the screen, okay? I mean, she's a walking blonde joke. It's okay, I'm blonde. You know, that's the kind of bullets they were using. You know, these right-wing elitist snobs at CNN, who frankly, you know the old Warner Brothers? This is the first image that came to me. I got to be honest with you. When I heard the whole Dick Cheney story, I started scouring the internet for that one little snippet, that one little Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd song. The real experts can look at. I think it's from A Hair Grows in Flatbush. I think that's the name of the short. But there's a song, and the lyric is, what's cooking? What's up, Doc? Are you looking for Bugs Bunny butting? Daddy's gone hunting just to get a rabbit skin, and now he's brought it back again. Hey, look out, stop. You're going to hurt someone with that old shotgun. Hey, what's up, Doc? You'll thank me for not singing that. Because all an entire lifetime of watching great slapstick just roared through my brain when I heard this story. No more bullets? No more bullets. Elmer Fudd, you know, in What's Opera Doc? Be thou ye quiet. Yeah, that. Okay, I sang. I'm sorry. And you know, Daffy Duck with the face blasted away and the beak on backwards, turning it around. And thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. I mean, an entire lifetime of slapstick just flashed before my eyes when I found out that my vice president had blasted one of his buddies on a hunting expedition. I mean, they're all, oh my God. It was all there. And then I've got, because these idiots, these little right wing idiots at CNN think that it's called a shotgun because we're such ignorant hillbillies that we don't understand it's a shoot gun. Damn. You know, shotguns, you know, there's a difference between your shotgun and your rifle gun. Bullets? Shotguns shoot bullets. Well, bless my pea-picking heart. I'm simply amazed. Just stunned. I don't know. I've told you the story before about Charles Kuralt coming and giving us the lecture saying if you want to be a journalist, study art, history, economics, political science, you know, whatever, but don't, for God's sake, study journalism. They turn these poor little babes in the woods out onto the street. No wonder the Bush administration plays them like a well-worn fiddle. They're idiots.
Well, Frederica, I think that's like hunter talk for the kind of bullets they use.
Holy cow! Bullets? No, you know, no wonder they swallowed the weapons of mass destruction lie.
Weapons of mass destruction? I think my mascara's gonna run.
Jeez! Shoot.
Something called birdshot. Yeah, there's birdshot, rat shot, bat shot. And, I got some wingnut on CNN explaining to me that that's the kind of bullets they use. You do not have to take him home and shoot him later. You can shoot him now. And I say, shoot me now. See, this is what a lifetime of Warner Brothers cartoons does to you. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle, the seasons revolving?
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hour number two is underway. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A reminder of the phone number if you want to jump into tonight's fracas. 877-443-2366. 877, the number four, Head On. And, you know, we'll run you right to the front of the line just because we don't have anything to give out for prizes. So, by golly, that's what we do. And email is equally easy, bob@headonradio.com. And a quick correction. See, that's the way it is when you're a liberal and a progressive. If you screw up, you say, hey, I screwed up. And our friend David in Tennessee has written in. He says, newsflash, David was wrong. It is legal in Texas to shoot quail until February 26th. See, we're fact-based, and, you know, Still, when does the season end on lawyers?
Never.
Lawyer season. When does that go? Was he hunting lawyers? Was he hunting lawyers out of season? Or is there one, since most people consider lawyers to just be noxious varmints? I mean, that's what the Republicans have told us all along, isn't it? The reason we do not have effective trash collection in the United States anymore is because of trial lawyers suing all the garbage men. I hate the way that Republicans talk about the lawyers who go out there and do the Lord's work. Representing people who otherwise couldn't hire a lawyer when they get poisoned by people like W.R. Grace, a wholly owned subsidiary of Halliburton Corporation. Which, incidentally, was, as we learned last week, obtained by Halliburton on the watch of Dick Cheney. That's why that asbestos bill had to go through. You understand. Now, yes, dear.
Well, the good guys, dear, are the trial lawyers, and the bad guys are the plaintiff's lawyers.
No, the good guys are the plaintiff's lawyers.
Oh, sorry.
They're the same thing as the so-called trial lawyers.
Okay.
What you never hear a Republican complaining about is the corporate defense lawyers.
That's the one I was thinking of.
And in point of fact, let's see. Let me find my little my happy little sheet here. We've got some. Let's go into this right now. Why not? I think we've gotten about all the mileage that we possibly can out of Deadeye Dick Cheney. And that being the case, I wanted to tell you. I'll be honest. I don't have any sound for you tonight, and I don't have much to say tonight about the Katrina hearings that were held today. I didn't have the stomach, frankly. I didn't have the stomach to sit and watch Joe Lieberman play protector of the public trust. But there was something going down in Washington today that I wanted to touch on. There was a group of people who held a hearing today. It was George Miller of California, Nick Ray Hall, my congressman from West Virginia, Jim Moran, a Democrat from Virginia, and Bobby Scott, a Democrat from Virginia. They held hearings. I guess you can't call it a hearing. But it was a forum. Okay, we'll call it a forum. They held a forum today for the victims of mining tragedies. And among other things, we were talking about lawyers. Well, lawyers, as I've noted with the Sago disaster, the Alma disaster, and going back to the the Jim Walter mine disaster in Alabama in 2001. Lawyers have busted their humps to stop people from being fairly compensated for their losses. Now, those aren't the big, nasty, old, mean plaintiff's lawyers. No, those are the sweet, kindly, and gentle corporate defense lawyers. And butter will not melt in their mouths, and you never hear a Republican say a bad thing about a corporate defense lawyer. No, they are the angels. Well, before you get too convinced, and I know you're not, the bad lawyers, well, no, let's find out who the bad lawyers really are. This is with regard to the hearings, the investigation that's taking place about the Sago disaster. Guess what? The families aren't welcome.
Now there are private and secret interviews being conducted by IMSHA, and they are to resume tomorrow. Many of the witnesses will be employees who are represented by lawyers paid for by ICG. I will not be allowed to attend. The miner may ask the UMW to step out, but the company's paid-for attorney can stay. Does this seem like a fair process to get at the truth? I'm begging each of you to contact David Dye, IMSHA's director, to make sure these interviews are public so that family members and their representatives may attend.
Can you imagine that? What would you do? Would you move heaven and earth to be a part of that investigation if you'd lost a loved one at Sago or Alma? Wouldn't you? One of the widows. The widows are not allowed in the hearing where the coal company gets to ask all the questions. The UMWA representatives can be commanded to leave the room, but no one can make the coal company lawyer leave the room. Who's the bad lawyer? Who's the evil lawyer? How do these SOBs sleep at night? These pitiful excuses for members of the human race that work day in and day out and live in fine homes and drive nice cars by virtue of nothing short of their defense of the bloody-handed tactics of coal companies. How do they sleep at night? Well, they just don't think about it. Yeah, they got one. Yeah, that's right, Agnes. They got one of those Rush Limbaugh mattresses. That's how they sleep so well. It's the Swedish NASA mattress. Jeez. It was very interesting because this wasn't just Sago people. This wasn't just Alma people. They had folks there going all the way back to the Jim Walter disaster in 2001. And all these, you know, Wayne coined this phrase, and it deserves to be repeated time and time and time again. And it needs to be said to West Virginians and Alabamians and Kentuckians and Virginians and anywhere that coal is moved out from under the ground up into the, you know, the first rays of sunlight striking it since it fell on it 100, 200 million years ago. The Republicans told you that Al Gore was coming to get your guns. And the Republicans told you that John Kerry was coming to get your Bible. What they didn't tell you was that George Bush was coming to get your mine inspectors. There are over 100 less mine inspectors today than there were when Bill Clinton left office. What does that say? It says a boatload. Among other things, Mrs. Blevins, well, she noted, she started out by talking about Elaine Chao, because, you know, these people are good about trotting, you know, about trotting people out. Elaine Chao, wife of that filthy Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, she's the Secretary of Labor. And like I've said, you know, dinner at their house must be beautiful. Hi, honey. How many people did you screw today? 2,320. How about you, honey? Oh, I screwed an entire nation with the budget. Oh, you got me today, sugar. So right after the right as the Jim Walter mine disaster was happening in Brookwood, Alabama, they trotted Elaine Chao right out down there. And she told Mrs. Blevins, well, by golly, and Mrs. Blevins told her, I'm standing here at ground zero, and this is never going to happen again. Poor Mrs. Blevins. She believed her. But Mrs. Blevins learned better.
There were several recommendations that was made, and had they been implemented and followed, gentlemen, you would not be dealing with SAGO today. You would not be dealing with SAGO today. Nothing was taken into consideration after Brookwood. Nothing.
Nothing. How many men died in that disaster? And there was a whole bunch of talk, and Elaine Chao flew down, and they talked about how it was ground zero, and it was never going to happen, and then they drove away, like they always do. And they got away, you know, the coal company, the coal bosses, the people who wear the hand-sewn suits and drive the fancy cars and live in the big houses, they got away with murder. So this is what I was paying attention to while a lot of other people were watching the Katrina. And Katrina and Sago and Katrina and the Jim Walter mine, they're all the same thing. This is 6 years of a criminally negligent administration. I mean, if you want a metaphor for what this administration is, you by God got it over the weekend. Negligent attempted homicide. Oh, no. Dick Cheney didn't mean to shoot his buddy in the face at 30 yards. Heck no! How could he possibly mean to? No, well, you know, they teach you something. I think it's like the first day of law school or something. There's one rule. All liability is based on fault. And it goes back to some ancient English case where two guys were like sword fighting or something, and one injured the other, and they came before the king, and the one guy said, well, I didn't mean to. And the king looked at him and said, buddy? Knave? Vassal? Villain? I don't care if you meant to. You did it. It's your fault. Pay up! Because I'm the king, and I ain't a goner. Hence comes the ancient rule, all liability is based on fault. Well, I didn't mean to. Don't care! You did! So, you know, it doesn't matter whether Dick Cheney meant to shoot that lawyer. I maintain he did, because he's Dick Cheney. It doesn't matter. What matters is that he did it, and, you know, he wasn't suddenly possessed by, it wasn't Satan. Well, it was Dick Cheney. Wait, so, no, okay, that's complicating things. Dick Cheney did it. It was Dick Cheney's fault. Dick Cheney is responsible. Dick Cheney is liable. It was a negligent shooting, and that negligent shooting is absolutely the metaphor for the entire Bush misadministration. How many thousands dead do we have as a direct and proximate result of the negligence of the Bush administration after Katrina? How many, more finite number, do we have as a direct and proximate result of the negligence of the Bush misadministration in dealing with coal mining? Since they took office in January 2001. And here's the larger question. It's all the same thing. The Iraq War. What have we been told? We didn't really lie to you. You know, why? Because we're all out, you know, us liberals, are, you know, they don't like America, them liberals. Us liberals are out here saying, you know, we think George Bush sort of told a bunch of lies to get us into the war. What's their response?
Oh, we didn't mean to. It wasn't, we didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. We had bad information. How are we supposed to know that a dude who was drunk out of his mind on cheap toke sitting under a bridge on the, over the Euphrates River that the Germans were calling codenamed Curveball, how are we supposed to know that he was just making crap up? We didn't mean to.
All liability is based on fault.
I don't care whether you meant to, George. There are 100,000 dead civilians in Iraq, and whether you meant to doesn't matter. You did it. It is your fault. Well, you can't prove they lied. I don't have to prove they lied. I have to prove they were negligent. I have to prove that they did something that a reasonable person in the same or similar circumstances damned well would not have done. This is the entire administration. Well, we didn't mean to let those black people die in New Orleans. I don't care what you meant. You did it. You did it. You did it. And you are responsible for it. And for...
All these Republicans who during election years like to stand up and say things like, well, America must take personal responsibility for its actions, and the evil trial lawyers are...
Shut up!
Shut up. I don't care where you put your personal responsibility. Do you suppose big-time Dick Cheney's going to take personal responsibility for gunning down that dude? Do we get to find out now just what the sum total and effect was of all the attacks on Bill Clinton for those 8 long years work out to? We, you know, Bill Clinton had to sit for a deposition. But I think the we won't change the law for this. I think it turns out that the only remedy for what Dick Cheney has done, because I imagine that shooting another human being by accident in Texas, it probably is a misdemeanor. It should probably be a felony, but, you know, who am I? It's a misdemeanor. What does the Constitution say about the removal of the president and the vice president? What shall they be removed for, class? High crimes and misdemeanors. Our friend Andy in Wales says, on the shooting thing, what would happen if you or I or any other hunter shot someone? A police investigation, maybe? Yeah, there'd be a police investigation. And of course, and Andy's right, the local cops weren't even allowed to say, by your leave, Vice President Cheney, may we speak to you? The Secret Service stepped in and said, no, you may not. If you or I did this, we would be under a jail and praying for somebody to make bond for us. Dick Cheney not only left the state of Texas, he wasn't charged. Because I believe the standing law in this nation is such that you cannot charge Dick Cheney with anything. He can literally commit murder, and the only remedy is impeachment. Now, I want to know if the family values Republicans in the House of Representatives are going to just ignore this, like they've ignored all the other misfeasance and malfeasance of the Bush misadministration. How are they going to look America in the eye in these elections in 2006 and say, well, If you're bird hunting and you shoot your buddy in the face and you didn't mean to do it, why should you be charged? You know, why should a jury, six people or maybe 12, tried and true, why should they sit in judgment of a great man like Dick Cheney? What was the line I heard time and time and time again during the Clinton administration? What will we tell the children? Well, I for one don't make it a habit of talking sex to my kids until they're old enough to talk sex about. But that's just me, and that's Agnes. But what do you tell the children when the Vice President of the United States gets to shoot people? And there's not even an investigation. Is there anybody in America? I mean, a right winger. And I'm filthy with them. They hang on my every word. One of you guys want to call in and explain to me how it is that there won't even be an investigation of what Dick Cheney did to that man? If you or I or anyone else did it, there would be that yellow police line, do not cross tape, around the entire scene. Some well-paid forensics expert would be picking up individual pieces of shot on the ground. And they'd have those little little pieces of wire with the red flags on top sticking up out of the ground. Here's a piece of shot, here's a piece of shot, here's a piece of shot. Look, there's a drop of blood, there's a drop of blood, there's a drop of blood. Is there anybody in the audience that is so self-deluded as to think that there were any forensics or any crime scene investigations performed at this private farm where Dick Cheney went to slaughter game fowl? Was there a police report? Hell no. So I'm kind of flabbergasted and flummoxed. Are we or are we not a nation of laws? Is the Vice President of the United States above the law? And again, I don't give a damn about this argument about he didn't mean to do it. Didn't mean to do it doesn't mean you don't investigate. Didn't mean to do it doesn't mean you just walk away and pretend it didn't happen. There are didn't-mean-to-do-it shootings all over the country every day. Go to gunguys.com. Check out their shooting gallery. You know, there's a little kid shot all over America every day that nobody meant to do it. But you know what? The parents' worlds are destroyed and turned upside down, and they're not made any better by the virtue of a bunch of cops swarming all over them saying, well, how did it happen? But we make a public decision that it is in the public's best interest that we find out how it happened so that crimes don't just slide by. But when you're Dick Cheney, that is your entire freaking life and nothing happens but crimes just slide by. Having crimes slide by is the Cheney biography. All the way back to the days in the Nixon administration when he was arguing that Nixon was ceding presidential authority by allowing a court or a Congress to pass on the legality of his acts. This is a man who literally holds himself out as better than you and me. And that is contrary to every notion that ever transpired in the formation of this country. It is. Let's take a break. Our good buddy Joe Vecchio took a day away today, so we're rerunning one of Joe's dandies. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Ben Birch of the White Rose Society has another fundraiser going on. Ben does fantastic work in archiving numerous radio shows, including the Cup of Joe show done by yours truly. I'm not bringing that up just because I'd like you to make a donation, which, of course, I do, but to highlight once again the problems we face on the left. Yes, that means I'm going to get all negative again. A big reason why the right now dominates the message in this country is that years ago, they threw a lot of money into creating media outlets to have their voices heard. Through a combination of corporate money and money from financiers such as Richard Mellon Scaife, they bought radio stations, newspapers, and magazines, and otherwise spread the wealth around. But that's not what we do. People like Ben and myself are forced to beg for donations because the money pockets on the left are stingier with their wallets than any Scrooge. Where the right will put $1 million into some new venture and give people the freedom to run things, the left will hand out $50,000 and demand accountability for every penny. We seem to think that there's something wrong with earning a buck while fighting for the cause, and that's just plain garbage. As I've said before, there's no dignity in poverty, and no amount of money is going to protect the wealthiest people on the left if the right should gain the kind of power they want. It's way past time they started to put up or be shut up, because if we go, they go too. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
About 25 minutes before the hour, we're halfway done with tonight's Monday night edition of Head On. And, well, you know me, I'm Bob Kincaid. Anything you want to talk about is fine. But I've got obviously the Cheney thing. And I am informed via email from our good friend Benedict at Large that the president, there have been previous rulings that the presidential exception to prosecution while sitting in office applies only to the president. So, of course, that makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? That's why there wasn't a criminal investigation. Because Dick Cheney could be prosecuted. Ah, these things happen in bird hunting all the time. No, they don't. Now, sure, there are going to be shooting accidents. Dude was wearing an orange vest. But if you do want a good laugh, let me check real quick. What's this email address again? Here it is. Dick Cheney Quail Hunt .cf .huffingtonpost.com. Dick Cheney Quail Hunt .cf .huffingtonpost.com. Go and try to go and do the quail hunting with Dick Cheney thing. I think you'll enjoy it. It points out really the ridiculous nature of this story. The Bloggeroni's leaked White House memo of the day by email to White House staff from Carl, subject damage control for Dick. It is vitally important to minimize this incident. We can't allow an act of careless incompetence reflect poorly on us while we are being accused of careless incompetence on a larger scale. What did I say? With this in mind, we'd like you to disseminate the following talking points to our Fox and Talk Radio team members. 1. Cheney wasn't hunting in South Texas. He was protecting the American border from Mexican quail trying to fly illegally into the United States. 2. It's not Cheney's fault. He received faulty intelligence about where the victim, Harry Whittington, was when he shot him. You would have shot Whittington, too, if you were there. 3. Let's not look back and try to second guess. Only people who hate America will want to know more about this. 4. Besides, the American people don't care. The victim's a lawyer. 5. He will also be awarded the Medal of Freedom just in case. 6. It is inappropriate for the vice president to comment on the accident until a fact-finding panel is convened to determine what happened. 7. The fact-finding panel will be picked by the vice president. Its members and its findings will be classified for national security reasons. 8. Cheney shot his friend to dramatize to Iran and North Korea that the U.S. is still capable of rash preemptive attacks. 9. The only reason Whittington was injured was because Cheney insisted that the hunters donate their protective vests to the troops in Iraq. 10. Jack Abramoff was not on the hunting trip. Neither was Tom DeLay. 11. Isn't the real story about how unpatriotic the media is for breaking a news story without government permission? The reporter at the Corpus Christi Caller Times who first disclosed this story needs some grand jury treatment, notebook subpoena action, the works. The vice president, number 12, was still able to make vital split-second decisions about national security threats while carelessly shooting his hunting partner. Now, that's just, like I said, there are people out there much funnier about this. I like the number 3, let's not look back and try to second guess. Only people who hate America will want to know more about this. What's the shorthand for this? We don't need to play the blame game. We don't need to play the blame game. Yeah, we do. I mean, unless we find out that this really was something straight out of a Warner Brothers cartoon and Mr. Whittington actually did shoot himself in the face with his shotgun. You know, I think that's hunter talk for the kind of bullets they use. Shot? Yes. Unless he did shoot himself in the face, then yeah, we do need an inquiry. We need an investigation. God, if only... And you know, there's a reason these people go to Texas. If that had happened in any other state, some law enforcement agency might have investigated. But not in a state that is, owned part and parcel by... If there was some highly motivated member of the Texas Rangers who really wanted to investigate, he would be the Lone Ranger. I mean, it would be that story all over again. Because he's going to get stonewalled from the ground up. I'm sorry, sir. This is private property. You're not allowed to come on it. But I'm doing a criminal investigation. I don't care. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to come on the property anyway. Talk to the Secret Service fellow, sir. Are you threatening the vice president?
What?
And that's, you know, that's what we're dealing with here. Oh, that's good stuff. Thanks to our friend Peter for emailing that in. So it just, it goes on and on and on. This isn't, these aren't isolated incidents. You know, do you remember, when the space shuttle blew up in midair? More Bush administration negligence. Everything that has happened since they took office is a direct and proximate result of their incompetence, their cowardice, and their callous indifference to human life. My dad and I were watching one of the World War II retrospective documentaries about a submarine. It was yesterday. I believe it was called the Bowfin. And somewhere along the way they said, a submarine crew is a small crew and it quickly takes on the character of its skipper. If he's aggressive, they'll be aggressive. If he's cautious, they'll be cautious. And so when I looked at my dad and I said, that's so true. They do take on the character of their leader, just like this nation has taken on the character of its leader. A coward leader creates a coward nation, and a coward nation does the things, well, that cowards do. Because you do know that bullies are almost always cowards. There are new estimates out that a preemptive sneak attack on Iran would kill civilians in their thousands. We don't care. We do not care. Let's go to the phone. CB is with us. Hey, CB, you're head on.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, I guess. I'm sitting here listening to you talking about cowards, and that was pretty much the point that I wanted to make. Ever since the Patriot Act first came into effect, most of the people in positions of minor authority have turned Nazi. Just out of confusion. They want to make sure the bases are covered. I moved recently. I tried to open a post office box. I had to get a note from the former owner of the property that I'd bought the property where I was living.
Oh my God.
So to get a P.O. box. I went postal on the postmaster and said, this is Nazi Germany, for God's sakes, you know. And getting a new checking account.
Oh, yeah, you have to be verified by Homeland Security for that, too.
Exactly. So it doesn't surprise me at all that the local cops would just completely back off when it's the vice president because, you know, they've all gone lily-livered and whatever national security interests there are have to be protected, and these guys are the ones who do it.
Well, and CB, I mean, but you got to understand, the terrorists hate us because of our post office boxes.
Yeah.
They hate us because we are able to get those direct. I mean, do you have any idea how badly Al Qaeda needs an Oric vacuum cleaner?
I'm beginning to get an idea about it.
They need the direct mail.
Yeah.
We could probably win the war on terror by just sending them the smart source thingy out of the Sunday paper once a week.
Really?
These are the earmarks. These are the symptoms of a coward nation. And in this instance, I mean COWERED. We are coward. We are in a corner. We're just sort of huddled up in a corner and we're crying and keening. You know, not you, not me, not liberals, not progressives. We're gonna win this war by living our lives. But the Republicans, the fundamentalists, the weirdos, they are running around, and they can you imagine what it must be like to be one of these people, CB? Can you imagine the fear in which they live? It's got to be debilitating.
Well, for my whole life, I've experienced cowards along that order. They do pretty much go across the spectrum. I don't really know how to describe this. You know, a lot of people out there, if you're a head-on person, if you're a free-spirited person who goes out there and engages with the world, you become their hero because they think, wow, I wish I could do that. And you turn around and look at them going, I'm not any better than you. You could do that, you know.
Sure.
If your boss is asking you to do something that's utterly unconscionable, you say no.
Yeah.
And they say, well, you know, I need the paycheck, I need the benefits, blah, 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 blah. You know, and a whole lot of people are thinking, you know, Patriot Act, golly, you know, what does that mean? They can find me. They can, if I don't toe the line, if I don't make sure that I've got everybody's thumbprint and blood type, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm gonna lose my benefits, and I'll be out on the street like all those other poor people out there.
Yeah, I mean, CB, you talk about people and what they'll do to keep a job. A couple of people, our friend Gene in Oregon, among others, sent me a link this weekend to a story about a data service company. And they have required their workers to take injectable RFID tracking devices.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, put them right under the skin of the shoulder. Now, I mean, beforehand, they had, you know, I mean, and you've seen how it is, you know, any kind of a technical job, you've got the little card thingy, and you walk up, and you sort of swipe it past the little reader, and it goes, boop, and unlocks the door.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good anymore, because a terrorist could actually get hold of your card. So they have literally injected these RFID devices under people's skin. Now, and then, of course, it comes out that these things can be scammed just as easily under the skin as they can be on the card. But that's where a coward nation goes, CB. And you know, there are two people so far who have taken it, because the employer has said, well, you don't have to have these things, but if you don't have them, you can't have access to the data center. Well, what if you work in the data center? In other words, you can't have a job if you don't have the thing. And they sit there and they say, well, you know, I'll never get another job again. You know, at some point we've got to become a nation of refuseniks. I don't know about you, but if they come to me and say, you know, look, you got to get the thing under your skin. No, I don't have to work here.
I've grown back so many noses over the course of my life, it's ridiculous.
You mean the ones that you've cut off to spite yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's precisely it. People's teeth are falling out watching me cut off my nose, and you know, a little while later they see me back there with my nose on my face again, and they're going, wow.
Yeah, it's not nearly as scary as it seems to just stand up and demand to be treated like a human being.
And most of the time, the people will respond to that positively. Like this postmaster, with whom I got in a big, loud fight, ended up trying to prove to me that he really was a nice guy. He really was a liberal, you know, telling me he went out and voted against the governor's bad propositions and stuff. He tried very hard after that.
Look, I've got a button
with me. So basically, when you are in the face of a Nazi and you tell him about it, you know, bark it back at him, they almost always relent.
Yeah.
They almost always go, oh, sorry, you know, because, I mean, that's what makes them Nazis to begin with, is that urge to
control, have power,
be controlled.
Well, yeah,
to be controlled.
Yeah, they're willing. They are willing to submit to higher authority, and they don't understand it when you're not willing to submit to theirs.
Exactly, and so when you start barking back at them, you know that it's more like, oh, okay, you know, it's the draw to a lot of this fundamentalist Christianity out there. There's somebody standing up there telling them how to be and what to do. That's what a whole lot of people in this world just can't take the pressure of it anymore. And Lord knows I can see where that's coming from, because maybe they held this story for 24 hours just because this week is so jam-packed full of stuff that we all need to know about and work against, that if there's this story splattered out all over the airwaves and the internet and stuff, we're all going to be distracted. I mean, I just...
Well, I mean, the combination between this and the infanticidal, maricidal daddy... that ought to be sufficient to cover up the Katrina stuff, the mining stuff, and any other nefarious misdoings of this administration. At least they hope so.
The administration, what is it going to be Wednesday? I think they sent out a memo on Saturday that they were going to the Judiciary Committee to explain a little better.
Yeah.
I'm desperately interested in that. We're probably not going to get to see that on C-SPAN, but are they going to just go in there and sweep this under the rug a little bit?
They're going to try.
They're going to try.
And Wednesday, the highly critical Republican report from the House of Representatives about Katrina is also due to come out. And it is said that they are going to gasp. Criticize George Bush.
Oh my word!
You know, having a little shooting down in Texas. You know, not the first time we've had a little shooting down in Texas to divert things.
Yeah, we diverted our entire nation in one shooting down in Texas.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I know that's what you mean.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing to think, but you know, again, you know, I've done the bird hunting thing, and I've never shot my hunting buddies.
I was on the internet and in the comments section again, and it's amazing how many people couldn't fathom how somebody would get shot in the head and chest if they were bird hunting. I was having to explain the habits of quail to a lot of people. I just took it upon myself.
I know, but CB, what do they think they were hunting these quail with, a 30-06, for God's sakes?
I know. And, you know, they were wondering about the distance from which he was shot and stuff, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out how do you explain about the dispersion of shot once it comes out of the
well,
gun.
Well, yeah, and well, I mean, I love shotguns. A friend of mine collects them, and they're, you know, of all the firearms, I think they're probably the most elegant and beautiful. And I was wondering, you know, there are chokes in the end of a shotgun that will define how it is that the shot comes out. There's full choke, there's modified, and there's open.
Yeah,
and if it's open, it's more like a blunderbuss. It, you know, scatters out a lot more quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's full, the pattern stays together longer and modified somewhere in the middle. And I'm just trying to think at 90 feet. You know, Dick Cheney being Dick Cheney, I'm imagining, you know, that he was trying to, he's probably, you know, open so that he can bring down as many birds as possible when they open the net.
Well, yeah, and you know, if you're shooting a little bird like that with shot that's too tightly packed by the time it gets to the bird,
there's no bird left
to eat.
Right. So, it's just I've seen that happen. You know, it's just you'd get this big poof of feathers in the air, and you know, there's nothing to find.
Right. Right.
And so I mean, the details I'm still very interested in, CB. I'd like to know how many pieces of shot have been removed from this guy.
And why doesn't the media have a much better story about this? Why haven't they answered the questions about, you know, what the shotgun was set at or what kind of shotgun, so people can start thinking about this? And
well, for quail, now usually when we went bird hunting, CB, we were after pheasant, you know, which is not a small bird.
Right.
Quail are smaller considerably. And so if
so sweet.
Yeah, I sweet. Oh, they're beautiful with a cream sauce. No, I'm sorry.
No. Bad. I like eating them too, but I try and restrict myself to the ones that are farmed for eating because I love the wild ones.
But the thing I'm trying to, you know, you got to use a considerably smaller shot. So that's probably why this, I mean, there's birdshot and there's birdshot.
Yeah.
I cannot in my mind, because I took my hunter safety class and very serious about it, and I never wear red bandanas during turkey season or anything like that. I'm trying to put together in my mind, and I'm not trying to be obtuse about this. I am trying to figure out in my head how in God's name this happened. You know, we know from the reports that the shooting took place at roughly 30 yards.
Yeah. Be the 90 feet.
Yeah, and he shot him, you know, basically from the shot was basically from the bottom of the rib cage up.
Ooh.
How did that happen?
I think, this is all just in my very creative brain, but I think that since it's quail, they love taking cover in brush, low brush. They're very ground-hugging birds.
Yeah.
They prefer to walk. They will fly, of course, if you scare them, which you only have to blink and they're scared to death. They flush. But what they don't like flying a long distance, so they'll go from low cover to low cover in a low arc if they can.
Yeah.
You know, if that option is open to them. So Cheney's walking towards some low brush, and this lawyer is behind him 30 yards, picking up his kill. From a minute ago, according to the AP article anyway.
Yeah.
So he's walking towards us, and a covey of quail, you know, burst out, and it happens really fast. It's disorientingly fast. And a big craziness happens, and they're just gone, just like that. All right, so they're going from one low cover that's in front of him to a low cover that's off behind him.
They're not
flying into him to do it. They're flying past him to do it. And he's swiveling with his gun. And, you know, he finally, they're going so fast, they're almost back to the other cover that they want. They're starting to descend.
Are you telling me that he swung around and shot behind him?
Yeah. That's what I think he must. That's actually, I think, what they said happened. And I think that.
Holy cow.
But not, he didn't turn his gun behind him. He was swiveling.
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
yeah,
that's a boy.
And by the time he was pulling the trigger, he's moving, he's pulling the trigger, and he's pulled the trigger, and then his buddy comes into view, and then his
well, this guy's then he's even more incompetent than I imagine, CB.
Well, incompetence at least. You know that.
I mean, if you did that here in wild, wonderful West Virginia, and that was the account that came out in court, the jury's not gone 10 minutes before they come back with negligent wounding.
Well, it would be really nice. It would be really nice if we had people who knew about this kind of stuff, who could investigate this kind of stuff, and hold the man accountable for it. But we don't. I wanted to say earlier, you know, when I was talking back to your radio show without the telephone in my hand.
I know, I do that too with Mike.
Yeah. This has become a nation of government by litigation. From local, evidently all the way up to national level, there's nothing but incompetence going on. It's people who are embodying their position. They're not doing their jobs. They are being their position.
Yeah, they're warming the seat.
Yeah, I mean,
what we call around here, drawing your breath and your pay.
Yeah, yeah, and so if you want any kind of justice or anything to turn around and start going the right way, you pretty much have to sue for it. And
you're absolutely right. For all this talk of, you know, we are a highly litigious society, we got to stop suing, blah blah blah. We've got a government that says, yeah, so sue me.
Right.
And you sue and you get in front of somebody like Alito and he goes, yep, too bad, go home.
But which is why they've been working so hard to get these guys on the bench.
Precisely, CB. So good to talk to you. We got to hit it.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Great conversation. If that is indeed the case, I mean, we're talking about kids taking hunter safety classes that wouldn't get their little cards if they said it was okay to swivel like that. As someone just noted in the chat room, it's about a 20-degree arc. I mean, you don't shoot except what's in front of you. Now, the one interesting thing out of this story is that apparently Mr. Whittington had just brought down a double. Meaning he'd fired one barrel of his double barrel shotgun, then fired the other, and he got two birds. What? And they're that competitive? And Dick Cheney, I'm gonna get me a triple. I'm gonna shoot three birds with one shot. Sorry about that, Mr. Whittington. Now let's take a break. This is Head On.
Crops are all in, and the peaches are rotting. The oranges are piled, and their Crayolas so done. They're flying them back to the Mexican border to pay all their money to wade back again. Father's own father, he waded that river. He took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters, come work in the fruit fields. They rode in the truck till they took down and died. My one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus y Marie. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be some of us ain't wanted. Our work contract's out. We got to move on. 600 miles to the Mexican border. They treat us like a rustler, like outlaws, like thieves. The sky plane caught fire.
Street where there are many, many cars and trucks, factories that pump and bang and grind all night and day. It is a miracle that I can write poetry or sleep or talk on the telephone or that my lover will visit me here. There is so much noise. Every few minutes a jet comes in low or a prop job swings down like a kamikaze. There is an airport at the end of my street. The New Age people say that you choose all these things. Choose the cars and trucks and airplanes, me and all of my neighbors. Well, maybe this is true. Maybe we can't live without all this goddamn noise. Maybe I need the noise to write poems, make love, and eat. I'm going to hang a sign out my window that says, "More noise, please," or "Thank you for making noise." Maybe we are the kind of people who need to have what we don't want just to get along, to do the basics.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Wow, Monday comes and goes in a hurry, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. You just heard the phone number, 1-877-4. Head on, 877-443-2366. If you've got a lick or two you want to get in before the end of the program, wear it out. But I think Agnes and I were talking during the break. I think there's only one rational explanation for why this whole dead-eye dick thing has been handled as it was. Because there are a couple of things we haven't even mentioned. One, there was a third party at the party. What's the old French phrase? Cherchez la femme. Cherchez la femme. Find the woman. She is the new ambassador to Switzerland. And, is she Cheney's little Swiss miss? With mini marshmallows?
She's got the battery pack.
You know, the Why did it take a day? Brad Friedman noticed this. Only one service picked up the fact that there was a femme fatale involved in this hunting expedition. I don't have her name right in front of me. I apologize. But yeah, she was there. Now, that has gone unnoticed. The other thing, the reason for no investigation. Among other things, if this happened to you and me, one of the things they would do is they would make us blow in the little breathalyzer. You know, it's just evidence gathering. It's just that kind of thing. Maybe even pee in a cup. Now, they didn't do that to big-time Dick Cheney. Because this is, and again, this is not me gooning on Texas, but again, I'm a born and bred Southerner. I know the drill. These guys were probably liquored up. This is the kind of, I mean, think about it. The guy was behind him and he gets shot in the face. This is the kind of thing that happens when you're out hunting. Let's go shoot us some quail. Let's go shoot us some quail. I'll call that little Swiss miss over there. We'll have us a fun old time. We're going to go shoot us some quail. And bring along that fifth of wild turkey. Yeah, I like wild turkey. Come on. This, of everything we've talked about, this makes more sense than anything else. They were drunk. Couple of drunk, old, good old boys. Because there is no way, remotely sober, that you shoot, you're hunting. Oh, my friends, it happens all the time. Why, I got shot in the rump one time while I was floating as a decoy in the duck blind. You know, No, it doesn't happen all the time. That's if it does happen all the time, then their buddies at the NRA need to shut down because, you know, we lead the nation in hunter safety programs and in training young shooters, and we've got an Eddie Beagle program. Right? The National Rifle Association is committed to safe hunting practices. Well, they need to just close up shop. Because, they're the ones that are protecting us while we're... No, they were just drunk. Now let's move on. I want to get back to the hearings that were had today in Washington. This was heartrending stuff. And when you watch hearings like this, and you know that you're listening to the testimony of widows and children who have been deprived of fathers, you know you're going to hear some tough stuff. And it didn't start out easy, and it didn't get any easier. But when Mrs. Blevins, whose husband died in 2001, when she was talking about everything that she went through and how none of the lessons from the Jim Walter mine had been learned and applied at Sago, when she did that, there was, and you'll notice this, and I think you'll agree, it got even sadder.
My husband should not have died in vain, and I'm asking you to become his voice. I know that Senator Wellstone called my house, and he asked for information, and he was going to pick up David Blevins' banner, and he was going to carry it for us. And then, on a crippling, snowy day, his plane went down. And my heart sank to the bottom of my feet again because guess what? Another voice was silent.
How many different ways are there that this country was harmed in the death of Paul Wellstone? Paul Wellstone, Democrat from Minnesota, a member of the United States Senate, picked up the phone and called Mrs. Blevins and said, I want to know everything you know. I want everything you have. Because I will not tolerate this. And we will have action in the Senate of the United States. And we will make sure this doesn't happen again. And then he dies. Now a question occurs to me. Mrs. Blevins is an Alabamian. Senator Wellstone was a Minnesotan. Now, they do some mining in Minnesota, too. Where the hell was that good-for-nothing Jeff Sessions? Where was that good-for-nothing Richard Shelby? Where were they when a worker's widow needed them? Why weren't they on the phone? Why weren't they in contact with Paul Wellstone? Why weren't they saying this will never happen? Why? Because, sunshine, they take money from the coal industry. And they take it gladly. Republican members of Congress are as useless as teats on a boar hog when it comes to the needs of working people. That's how they are. That's why a Minnesota senator, a Democrat, has to get on the phone, because Paul Wellstone knew as well as anyone else that there would be no help forthcoming from Mitch McConnell's wife, or from Mitch McConnell, or from Jeff Sessions, or from Richard Shelby, or from John Cornyn, or from Jim Bunning, or from Bill Frist, or from Lamar Alexander, or from Pat Roberts, or from Sam Brownback, or from Rick Pro-Life Santorum. There was no help to be had. And out of all that tragedy, that woman, that poor Mrs. Blevins, got a little bit more tragedy heaped upon her when they killed Paul Wellstone. I'll say that. Because you know what? There's evidence. I wish I still had my hands on it. I remember the actuality of one of those college Republicans talking at their convention, and he said, we told them we'd take the Senate back. We had to kill Paul Wellstone to do it, but we did it. Said that in public, openly. But when I heard her mention Paul Wellstone, it was like reopening another wound. As if this hearing, this forum today, was some sort of a magnet for the tragedies that befall our nation on a regular basis. And just in case you were wondering, you know, there were humongous fines levied in the Jim Walter case. And Mrs. Blevins' son, David, he talked a little bit about that, too.
The company will appeal and fight for many years, as in our case, they were fined $435,000 that was reduced to a mere $3,000. I mean, it's not even a slap on the hand.
No, it's not. That $435,000 they were fined that got reduced, you know, and MSHA agreed to it. Reduced to $3,000. But they paid lawyers, Lord God, they paid lawyers thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars to avoid paying that fine. To avoid paying the fine for murdering those men in Alabama in 2001. There was a lot of truth told today. You really, if you didn't see this, you missed something, and I'm glad I do have this for you. There was a guy named Chuck Neisel, and nobody got up there and just talked pretty. Nobody got up there and minced words. Chuck Neisel got up there and explained to Congressman Bobby Brown and Congressman Jim Moran and Congressman Nick Rahal and Congressman George Miller, not a damned Republican in sight, sunshine, because they can't be bothered. These are just working people. It's just blood, baby. It's not the good stuff. It's not the green stuff. It's not the Holy Communion stuff. It's not cash. But Chuck Neisel explained to these four Democrats exactly what was at stake.
These coal companies are getting away with murder, and I'm not embarrassed to say that statement because that's the facts. The regulations need to be enforced. If it takes stronger penalties, that's what needs to be done. But production of the coal is more important than the lives of these miners and the welfare of their families and their children.
Yeah. Production of this coal is more important than the lives of the miners. And Mr. Neisel had an interesting perspective, because he had worked in both a union mines, and non-union mines. And, you know, he was there, he saw it, he did it, he followed orders in both instances. And he had a few stories to tell about what life is like in a non-union mine.
I can go on and on all day about the things that I've seen. Talking about gases, someone mentioned about methane detectors on mining machinery. One of the coal company's tricks was to take a Walmart bag and place it over what they call the sniffer on the miner, which snuffs out, it's not able to sniff, I guess you'd say, for the methane. And that was one of the tricks, and that was enforced. I was a miner operator at one of those mines, and that's what I was told to do.
And when you're in a non-union mine and you're told to do it, by God, you do it. Can you methane detectors, literally life-saving devices, and you're told to put a Walmart bag over it so that you can disable it, so you can keep mining coal, even if the gas builds up to the point that it will cost you your life. And then there was Deborah Hamer. She's one of the widows. Now, you heard David Blevins a couple of minutes ago. David Blevins said, you know, there were $435,000 in fine. It got reduced to $3,000. Ms. Hamer, well, she put it in perspective.
ICG had nearly 50 citations in December alone. These habitual violations show me a disregard for minors' health and safety. Yet I read in the USA Today that there were larger fines for Janet Jackson's exposure at the 2004 Super Bowl than for the deaths of the minors in Alabama. When will these fines become a real incentive to mine coal safely?
This is the part where, if you want to, you can now run screaming around the room. That's right. There was more money in fines levied against CBS for the Janet Jackson breast o' death than was levied against International Coal Group Sago Mine. There were more fines levied against CBS and their affiliate stations for Janet Jackson's nipple o' doom than was levied against the Jim Walter mine. Let that sink in. Let that rattle around a little bit. That tells you something. That means something. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that L. Brent Bozell and Donald Wildman and all of their weird little freaks who are concerned about what's on the television don't give a damn about real live human beings. It means that what happens on a Sunday night in the middle of a football game is more devastating to America than what happens when the gases explode in the bowels of a coal mine. You wanted, I got an email from somebody. They were real prissy about it and said, I have never seen anybody who is so hostile to the clergy as you are. You ever wonder why? You got ministers all over this country howling about television programs, but they don't have time to stand up for the likes of Mrs. Hamer and Mrs. Blevins. What happens to them doesn't matter, because we're trying to restore the moral foundation of America. The church burnings that are going on across Alabama, I saw some ministers, I think it was the devil worshipers. Jesus God. They're all Baptist churches. Personally, I think it was the Methodists. But that's the crossroads where America is today. We have a government that's more interested in imposing fines against CBS because of a brown woman's mammary gland than they do in punishing people who kill other people with their, what's our word from the last hour class, negligence! I kind of got a little bit of a right to be upset about this, and so does anybody else who has a real moral sense who is still who lives in this country. And then there's Amber Helms. Amber Helms is the daughter of Terry Helms. He was the first miner found. He was the one who was still stuck in the man trip, sitting there in the car, dead. And she seemed like a real sweet young lady, Amber Helms did. And like the rest of these people, all she could do was talk truth and talk about what Wilbur Ross Jr. and his buddies, the former Massey Energy executives, had taken from her.
My dad was more than just a dad to me. He was my best friend. He was my leader, my companion. Sorry. He had my whole heart wrapped around his little finger. If I never got married, and if I just lived with him the rest of my life, I would be the happiest person in the world.
Dry eye left in the room? Not here. Are they crying at the headquarters of International Coal Group? Are they crying in the offices of alleged Democrat Wilbur Ross Jr.? Hell no! Baby, there's more coal to get out! So Amber Helms gets to do her crying in the night by herself, while some lawyer sits in Charleston at the offices of Jackson and Kelly, or Spillman Thomas and Battle, or Bowles Rice McDavid Graff and Love, working late trying to figure out how to screw her out of her future. But you know what? I got a feeling that even though he was murdered by ICG, I got a feeling that Mr. Helms, he passed a pretty good life on to his little daughter. Okay, we're having a technical difficulty. We'll get there.
I was in Charleston, West Virginia, at a dance competition, which he thoroughly enjoyed. And I was chasing my brother down a parking lot, and I went to jump over a curb and a metal wire that was blocking the road off caught me under the chin and threw me backwards onto the curb. And the next thing I knew, my dad was holding me in his arms. And he was just kissing me. He was so worried that I was hurt. And I didn't get upset until I saw he was upset, because he was just a-bawling. And I've never seen my dad cry before, and because he was a tough guy. He was my pillar of strength. And that's just how my dad was. And I know 2 summers ago we built a deck together. He even let me get on the roof and help him shingle it, because that's how he was. So if there was any words that I could say to express who my dad was, it'd be an extraordinary man and a perfect father. He was always there. But my dad... I lost my dad, my best friend, because of a tragic incident.
Honey, you didn't lose your dad because of a tragic incident. You lost your dad because coal is a killer, sweetheart. Coal kills. And the people who want the coal, the people who make the most money from the coal, will kill to get it. And they don't care who dies in the process. But Amber Helms, she does understand. She knows her daddy didn't have to die.
I lost my dad, my best friend, because of a tragic incident. And I'm here today not only to get answers along with these other families, but to make sure that other families don't have to go through what we have went through. The technology in the United States is above and amazing. Yet, these men work as we speak. Right now, today, there are men underground working in conditions and with equipment that are so outdated. I mean, it's ridiculous that I can get a computer and I can make a full website in an hour and have it up and running so the whole world can see it, but no one can find my dad.
No one can find my dad. She's right, you know. There are $20 pieces of equipment that ICG and Massey can't be bothered to purchase that would save a human life in one of these non-union hell holes. That's how they are. That's what they're about. Here in West Virginia, we have, if you want to sit down and watch a Mountaineer football or basketball game, you get subjected to these commercials that show blown-up mountaintops that are growing some scrub grass. And brought to you by this mountaintop removal site, Bug Spray. Get on Google Earth. It's free. Download it. If you just sort of turn the world around a little bit and start using your little scroll wheel to bring Earth a little closer and a little closer, you'll see scars that look like cancer in West Virginia from way, way up. I mean, we're talking about from, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 miles out, and they're still huge. And no, Amber's daddy didn't have to die in a just world. That in a world where coal is king and politicians and business people and working people bow down and worship at its shrine, he did. He did. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted.
Job, you could get burned out, you could get thrown out. I mean, there's so many different reasons.
We had the attitude that it just can't happen to us.
A chair was a bed. That was your home. If you touch someone's chair, forget it.
I never thought I'd be homeless. I didn't grow up saying, oh, I want to be homeless.
You just never thought you would ever say, I'm homeless.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
kept so clean and it types to a waiting world. A mother feels so shocked, father's world is rocked, and their thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16 ain't that peachy keen, now it ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reasons do you need?
When you have to watch young women weep in front of congressional hearings on Mondays, is there any particular reason why not to like them? Now, truth be told, I do. I get a kick out of Mondays because the 2 days that I spend without the show just about drive me nuts. Although we had a lot of fun this weekend. Not the least of which was the opportunity to remotely produce and prove that it could be done, both Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch, as well as Bruce's All Things Reconsidered Sunday night, last night. We did, it just is what it is, we did from right here what it took Air America $10 million to pull off, and I think that's really pretty cool. Let's try an experiment here. Our good friend Ben Birch is calling in via Skype. Hey, Ben, you're head on. You there, Ben? Ben? What are you doing, dear?
Well, hey there.
There you are.
Well, guess what the Party of Responsibility is doing?
What's that?
Yeah, are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you fine.
No.
Yeah.
No, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey there.
Yeah. Okay, we're having a tough connection here, I guess.
Ben.
Okay. Sometimes that's the thing about Skype. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Try back, Ben. We're going to make this thing work or bust in the process. So, the party of... doggone it, I would have liked to have had that. Now, in the interim, while we see if Ben can reconnect... Well, I think that's probably him now. All right, yeah, take me... let's go straight to Ben on the regular phone. Hey, Ben, sorry about that.
I was on the wrong side of the delay.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's right, because we've got the delay engaged. I'll bet that is an issue.
Yep. Anyways, guess what the Party of Personal Responsibility is doing now?
What's
they
that?
Are blaming the victim again.
How so?
They're saying that the shooting was not Cheney's fault, it was Whittington's fault.
Oh, God, no.
Because Whittington failed to follow proper hunting protocol. Now, when I was taught to fire a piece,
mm-hmm.
I was taught that when you've got a piece in your hand, you have deadly force, and you are the sole responsibility of that. No one can give you an order to pull that trigger. You are the person who is pulling the trigger. It's your ultimate decision.
Well, absolutely. And we're taught, here in West Virginia, Ben, we send kids to hunter safety class at like 9 and 10 years old, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because that's when they start getting out in the woods. Whether we like it or not. But one of the things you're taught is that you never pull the trigger unless you are absolutely certain of A, your target, B, what your target is, and C, most importantly, what is beyond your target.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the fact that he was drinking didn't have anything to do with it. The fact that he didn't properly sight his target and know... who, what, when, and where about it. That wasn't the problem. The fact that he was showing off for a woman who looks like a much younger, prettier version of Lynn Cheney.
Oh, you noticed that, did you?
That didn't have anything to do with it either. I really think that if we can't pin it on Whittington, we're going to have to blame the guy that made the shells.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's what the party of personal responsibility is doing today, you know, and, you know, but they won't take responsibility for anything they actually do. It's everyone else that has to take personal responsibility.
Right. Well, that's so, is it because they have a personality disorder?
You could say that.
Isn't that
personality disorder is kind of like that?
I mean, isn't that one of the hallmarks of the DSM-4 diagnosis of sociopathic disorder? This inability to take responsibility and inability to share human emotion.
Yes, and you know, I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop. You know, now that we know that Valerie claims official responsibility within the CIA was making sure that Iraq never restarted its nuclear program and making sure that Iraq never acquired weapons of mass destruction. We now know that this was the case. I'm betting they're now going to blame Iraq on Valerie Plame.
Oh, God. Well, we know what they're doing with Valerie Plame. From Raw Story, that came out today.
That's right.
Valerie Plame was working on Iran's nuclear issues.
Iraq's.
Iraq's. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Working. Yeah, so it's her fault.
Her fault.
And did you see this story today, Ben, out of the Boston Globe?
No, I didn't.
This is some of the best fear-mongering I've seen in a long time. First paragraph, Iran is prepared to launch attacks using long-range missiles, secret commando units, and terrorist allies planted around the globe in retaliation for any strike on the country's nuclear facilities, according to new U.S. intelligence assessments and military specialists.
And Goldstein, plotting with our enemies in East Asia, is... That's what it sounds like. This is right out of 1984.
Yeah, it is.
Right out of the moment of hate.
Well, the thing that's blowing me away, Ben, is that with all this business, all this talk, I mean, if the world is really concerned about Iran having nuclear energy, now...
Iraq.
No, Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Iran. If the world is so concerned about that, the one thing that would make sense to... You know, and I'm no fan of nuclear energy. I understand Iran's desire to sell all the oil they can possibly sell. So that, you know, they're making money on it for as long as they've got it, because they know what peak oil is and they know they're in it.
Yep, and they know they're going to run out if they continue to sell it.
And they're just going to slide back into the back alleys and dustbin of history when they do, because no one will pay attention to them anymore, and they can scream about their glorious revolution all they want, and we don't care.
But they also know that they want to keep the lights on.
Right.
That's why the nuclear power.
Exactly. Now, if you really want to bring pressure to bear, and I think this, I mean, if you look, you know, that Bush air, isn't it interesting, the first part of the where they're building the plant is named Bush?
Mm-hmm.
Where that Bush air plant is, if everything goes as planned, and they're really not making nuclear weapons materials, but if they have one little Chernobyl, you know who's downwind? Kuwait?
Yeah, yes, I do. They're good friends, the Chinese and the Pakistanis and the Indians.
Well, but I mean, if you look at the geography there at the Persian Gulf, downwind is Kuwait, downwind is
yep.
Qatar, downwind is the United Arab Emirates, downwind is Saudi Arabia.
It's true.
And I mean, that those are the people who have the most to fear.
But you can pump oil out of a irradiated landscape, no problem.
Yeah.
The oil's not hot. Just the surface. We don't care about the oil workers.
No, and we don't care about our good friends, the Qataris or the Kuwaitis or the Saudis.
They are only our friends as long as they are useful. Okay.
God
it's
Almighty.
Just like it's just like, you know, the International Coal Group cares about its workers until they're a problem.
Yeah, or until they cease to bring coal out of the ground.
You know, I saw the chairman of outfit on Fox News when I was getting my oil change the other day, you know, he was saying how, well, we don't have any problem with union representation as long as they'll tell us who asked for it.
Yeah.
You know, the union wants.
So we can take them out into an alley and beat them with a tire iron.
Precisely. I'm thinking, yeah, you really want to know the name of the guys that asked for the union to be present. In the testimony, you really want to know that because you want to find a way to fire them. And you know, I really think that we need, you know, the time has finally come again, I think, for some real militancy in the coal fields. We've got to somehow reach the people who are working in coal and tell them, look, your life isn't worth a plug nickel to these people, and the money doesn't really matter. If you will strike, if you will walk off, we can shut this darn place down.
Well, that's why the Massey executive in Kentucky is militating to bring in Mexican coal miners. This is 1907 all over again.
Yes, it is.
You know where
and back then we know that the fact that the Pinkertons were out there in the coal field, there was still militancy.
Sure there was.
Okay. And that has got to be, we've got to establish that nothing normal is going to occur in their operation until they bring the union in.
Well, the thing, and a lot of that, and I don't know how you do it, Ben, a lot of that's education.
It's education.
I mean, there are people working in Massey underground hell holes that have union cards.
Well, part of it is getting a program like yours on the air. And I really think that, that's got to be the push to get good, strong, union-centered radio out there where these people can hear it.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice. But, of course, we all know, there's one Air America affiliate in West Virginia?
Yes.
One?
One.
And that was a little miracle all by itself.
Exactly.
But a lot of these stations, there's a station in Charleston, West Virginia, that constantly chases the number one talk station. And they're like, 4 and 5 and 6 points down in the ratings. They get their butts kicked every ratings period. But they're a bunch of ideologues. They don't care if they're getting their butts kicked. The one station has Rush, so they play Neil Bortz. They don't offer the Charleston market an alternative. In other words, they're thumbing their nose at and there's a good number of liberals and progressives in Charleston who would support such a station.
It's exactly what Joe was saying on his little piece earlier. We have got to get the people on our side who have the cash to open their wallets. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need one of those footballs of million-dollar bill,
Yeah.
We need that. We need somebody to throw a pile of money at this problem, and then we can have some revolutions.
Well, it does. I believe it will change things. That sound clip I had Friday night, Ben, from Ken Melman, the one thing that I agree with him on, and he pointed it out, 1 in 6 Americans listens to talk radio. And I would suggest that at this juncture, the number of that 1 in 6... the people listening to liberal talk, and it's not because they don't want to, it's because it's not there for them. The number of that 1 in 6 is probably not even 0.1% of that 1 in 6.
Agreed. But we see things that are occurring where positive actions are being taken to reduce the listenership of liberal radio.
Yeah.
And by this I mean Air America charging for podcasting.
Right. And again, it goes back, Ben, to bass-ackward thinking that the only way you can do liberal talk is to do it on the right wing's paradigm.
Exactly.
It's the business, with the mattress and the baldness remedies and the erectile dysfunction remedies. That's not necessarily the only way to run a radio network.
No, it's not.
I mean, we've proved it over the last 2 days, Ben. We have created the Head On Radio Network with me sitting here in West Virginia, Bruce sitting in North Carolina, and by God, John Fox sitting in Australia. And we created a live call-in talk program.
Exactly right.
And we're not doing it on a shoestring. We're doing it, I think what Bruce said, we're doing it on a thread.
Exactly.
And the thing is, it's already a going concern. It is already a success. And all it takes... all it takes is a little bit of cash, a little bit of push, and the thing takes off like a brush fire in August.
Well, that's what we've got to try to find, and I know you're working to find it. I'm working to find it. There's a lot of good people out there trying to do it, and that is the essential thing. If there's anybody listening to us who actually can affect this problem, who can say to his or her boss, hey boss, I know where you can put some of that money you've been you've been trying to find a way to promote liberal causes with.
Yeah, because...
And you'll make money.
Yeah, because... I forget who it was. It was a listener that pointed this out to me. We are so, and we're so far behind the curve. We keep thinking we're dealing with people who, you know, I'm not making any sense here. We're trying to establish a dialogue with the right when the right doesn't want to dialogue. The first thing we have to do is put out our own message and our own vision. You know, this business of, you know, going out and knocking on doors is great, and it's admirable, and I admire the courage of and the conviction of the people who do it. But what you've got to get a message out there first. You've got to offer an opportunity to people to be a part of a winning theory and a winning idea. Average Americans, if you tell them, Ben, okay, you can listen to right wing hate radio, and you're going to have a steady diet of God, gays, and guns, and big rocks, or you're going to listen to us, and we're going to talk about what matters. We're going to talk about what happens to your wallet. We're going to talk about why your kids don't have a future. We're going to talk about how you don't dare get sick.
Yep.
You know, it's got to be out there first.
And, you know, we have got to get out there. We have got to get our positive voices out there saying positive things. This is going to hurt you, but this is going to hurt you, and this is what you ought to do about it. And we have got to mix that message up with things that people like to hear.
Yeah.
Well,
we try to have a little fun on this program.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can't be a steady diet of, you know, what it's got to be. We got to talk about how to change it, how to fix it, and first and foremost, we got to learn to laugh.
Exactly right.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I've met some very, very committed liberals, and they're some of the most humorless people I have ever met in my life.
Yeah, they're some of the really crunchy ones. I know the people you mean.
And you know, we gotta get a giggle. You know, you can go further on a laugh than you can on a scream. And I recognize that. And I even, you know, I air check myself every night as soon as you've got the archive up.
Yep.
And sometimes I get after myself and I say, you know, a little too much of a downer there.
Sometimes talking about the reality we're living in, you can't avoid that. But, you know, you can go too far. You can take it to where it's mostly comedy. And I think we all know some of the people who have done that.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, I don't think that works either.
Well, I'll name names here. I mean, you know what, somebody going to cut my pay? I stayed up late Friday night because I had an email late Thursday night that a guy named Eric Reese, who has authored a book about mountaintop removal, was going to be interviewed by Al Franken.
Right.
And I like Al's comedy. I love it. And he's a good, committed liberal.
Yep.
And he does have the sense of humor. But this is that part that you were talking about, Ben. I stayed up late. I listened to this interview. And mountaintop removal, the whole, you know, 15 minutes or so of this interview, the whole thing was one long gag. It was, you know, there's some crap that's not funny.
No. And you can't make it funny, and you shouldn't try.
And so, you know, a lot of the force and effect of what Eric Reese could have shared with a national audience was lost.
Agreed.
You know,
agreed.
It drives me nuts. Well, I tell you what, Ben, you keep, you know, as long as you're there, we'll be there.
Well, I don't intend to quit until they haul me off to Gitmo.
Yep, or feet first to the crematorium.
Hey, you know, at least it's warm.
See, that's how this works. Ben, you have a great night. Bye now.
Bye.
So we're trying to find that happy medium. And I'm so proud of what we accomplished over the weekend, I could just bust. I think, I know at least with Fourth Estate Radio, we're going to try it again next week. And I hope you'll join us on Saturday night at 10 o'clock Eastern. The stream is there at White Rose Society. You're going to find out what it says. You're going to be there for the birth. This is the birthing of a network on an entirely new paradigm. This is something entirely new and different. This is coming from an entirely novel way of approaching it. And it is the ultimate network because it is the internet itself. That's pretty cool in my book. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor and engineered the studio setup by our good friend Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch, whom you just heard, maintains the stream of the program as well as the archives at whiterosesociety.org. He's got a fundraiser going on right now. Help him out if you can. I think Ben would be the first one to say don't take anything away from yourself. Don't deprive yourself. But if you've got some spare, spare it to him. And, of course, the program is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.